living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away my
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my home.
Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 17. 7 to 19. So, you know that next week, Wednesday, is a very important day. You know, especially if you're married or engaged or dating. You don't want to let Wednesday go by without celebrating the love you have with your person of a significance. Of course, I'm talking about Valentine's Day. It's also known as Singles Awareness Day, but, you know, we'll pray for them. But I am a believer that, you know, this holiday ought to be one that we, you know, go all out in, especially husbands. So I have the perfect Valentine's Day gift for you husbands. Make a reservation to take your marriage out to dinner on February 23rd, because we're going to have a really nice evening right here in this building. 6:30 is going to serve a really nice dinner, and then we'll have some laughs, and we will have a great speaker, Brian Peters from Coffee House 5, whose heartbeat is to strengthen marriages and families. He'll be here to do just that for us. So I promise, guys, you will not be disappointed if you make a reservation to bring your wife here on February 23rd, and it would be a good idea if you dressed up just a little bit, because we're going to take your picture, you know, so... I mean, it's just that kind of evening. Plus, this is the added bonus that you're giving a Valentine's Day gift that doesn't come till February 23rd, so you can do another Valentine's Day gift on Valentine's Day, which I suggest that you do that strongly. You can just thank me later for that. So Wednesday next week's a very important day. Monday is an important day, too. I have a doctor's appointment on Monday. So I'll be going to the doctor, nothing serious, I hope. You know, sometimes I find out I'm sick when I go to the doctor. But it's just a routine physical, so we're going to probably talk colonoscopy. That's a word that'll be in this meeting, I'm sure. They'll check my prescriptions, my blood work, you know, just kind of see if anything needs to be adjusted there. Well, hey, today, you know what? These scripture verses are going to take us to a doctor's appointment with the great physician. And he gives us some prescriptions for our heart that will keep us growing in him and bringing his story to life in our life. So let's read them, verses 7 to 19. Will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to just praise you for the day you've given us, and we thank you for the word that has been read here to bless our lives, to help us grow in you and to know what pleases you and how you want us to live. And so we might pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts today, that we could take these prescriptions for our hearts and apply them and live them out, to bring them to life. That's our desire, Lord. So I just pray the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first prescription for your heart is from verses 7 to 10. Jesus describes there this really unthinkable situation. I mean, nobody would think this. So he's kind of arguing a hypothetical here between a master and a servant. He's like, can you imagine, he's saying, the master calling in the servant from the field or who'd been out there keeping sheep. And he says, hey, come on in. Come on. You've been working hard all day. Come sit down at the table. Let me serve you dinner. No, that's just silly to think that. I mean, the master's going to say to the servant, you come on in and it's time for dinner. So serve me. That's what masters do. And that's what servants do. They serve. And so when that work is done outside, the servant's going to come inside. He's going to clean himself up. He's going to put on his serving uniform. He's going to serve dinner. And then after all that's done and cleaned up, then he will get to eat. Sounds a little bit like a mother, doesn't it? Does the master owe the servant anything for doing what the servant should do? Does the master thank the servant for doing his job? No, that's not what masters do. And that's not what servants should expect. As servants of God, we want to make sure that we lower the altitude in our hearts. We lower the altitude. When we've done all that God has given us to do, we want to remember that we've only done what we're supposed to do. And so we shouldn't expect any special recognition or any reward from the master. So he's saying, in your heart, be an unworthy servant. Now, you might hear that, and that can be pretty foreign to just about anything you hear today. This is a place where we are always trying to make people feel better about themselves, trying to increase self-esteem. That's a very important thing, in our world. You gotta love yourself before you can love somebody else. You know, that's a mantra. So what Jesus is saying, you're like, what? What are you saying? What kind of doctor are you? This prescription seems, crazy to think of yourself as an unworthy servant. You know, don't think of yourself special. Don't think you're special because you made it to church today and put something in the offering box. Don't think you're special if you went over to Meyer after church and started talking to the people about Jesus over there. Don't think you're special. You're just doing what you're supposed to do in your worship of and service to God. So this prescription, it kind of doesn't sound all that good, but it produces a lot of good in your life, in your relationship with God, in your relationship with others. Now, there are certain foods that you should avoid if you want to keep your blood pressure low. Like if you eat processed meat or canned soup, it's going to raise your blood pressure because it's full of sodium. Sodium raises your blood pressure. Caffeine, it raises your blood pressure. If you drink coffee or, soda, it's going up. So I have high blood pressure. refined sugar, fatty foods, all that stuff. Everything you like to eat. All that stuff. But if you're interested in keeping your blood pressure down, you want to avoid these foods. Well, there's also certain activities that we engage in that have a tendency to raise the altitude in our heart. And we want to try to avoid them too. One of those would be remembering, recounting in your mind, all the good, faithful, hard, over and above and beyond sacrificial work you did for God in the past. Just kind of bringing that back up to mind. Jesus describes what I would call a super servant here in these verses. I mean, this servant is sort of a jack of all trades. He can go out and do the work on the outside of the home, take care of the sheep, take care of the farm, and then he can come in and he can take care of the master during dinner. He can serve dinner, he can cook. Sounds like he can do it all. Super servant. Now, there's absolutely nothing wrong with trying to be a super servant for God. But we get into trouble when we start thinking that we're a super servant of God, recounting what we've done for Him. And if we're not careful, when we think about that, when we find ourselves thinking about that, we can get into this little attitude that, well, because I did this, God owes me this. You know, He needs to bless me. He's going to give me His favor. You know, and so we get into this God owes me something mindset. I mean, the attitude that Jesus is kind of bringing up here is revealed at the end of the prodigal son story. You know, when the older brother is out in the field and the party's going on at home for the younger brother who went out and squandered all the property. And so he comes up and dad comes out and he's like mad at him because he's like, hey, I've been here serving you faithfully and you've never thrown a party for me. You won't get that attitude if your altitude is low. Only if it's too high. So how do we avoid it? Well, I would suggest remembering what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3. He makes an argument there in Philippians chapter 3 about his pedigree as an Israelite and then his accomplishments as a Pharisee. I mean, he was something special in that world. And then he says, after he lists off all of his successes, all of his accolades, he says in verses 7 and 8, but everything that was gained to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. So that's a really good place to start at lowering your altitude. No matter how super you are, no matter how super you were yesterday, just consider it loss compared to knowing Christ today. He continues, Paul does in Philippians 3 verse 13. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. That's great advice to lowering your altitude, to be able to stay away. Just forget about the good service from yesterday. One of my favorite things that Pastor Hubert ever said, which God spoke to my heart, was you can't live on yesterday's surrender. You can't live on yesterday's sacrifice. It's today that matters. So one of my prescriptions that will get looked at tomorrow is for blood pressure. And so they'll check my blood pressure, and you know, if it's not keeping things in check, it'll get changed. Well, just like there's certain foods that you avoid to not raise your blood pressure, there's medicine that you take to lower blood pressure. And there is actually some good medicine that we can take to lower the altitude of our hearts. And I promise, it'll work 100% at lowering your altitude. John the Baptist, he was, by any stretch of the definition, a super servant. You know, his ministry was just going like gangbusters when Jesus was just coming on the scene. I mean, he was drawing huge crowds, tons of attention. And Jesus said about John the Baptist, he said that there was no one greater ever born than him. Wow. So what does John do with all these successes and this stamp of approval from Christ? What does he do? When Jesus came on the scene, John's disciples said, hey, what do we do? What do we do here? Do we keep following you or do we go follow him? And John said this. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. That is the medicine that we need to take. Jesus must increase in our life and I must decrease. And see, for Paul to consider all loss, he compared all the successes, all the accolades to Christ and what he did and knowing him. So he's like, compared to him and knowing him, all this stuff that I got that's a win is just like trash. Nobody remembers their trash. But we do have a tendency to remember our treasure. So instead of remembering all the work that we've done for God, we want to forget what is past, straight on toward what is ahead, and remember all the work that Jesus has done for God and who he is. And if you do that, you can't help but lower your altitude. If you begin by increasing Christ, increasing him in your life. I want to play for you this part of a sermon that is one of the best descriptions of Christ I have ever heard. Always works at raising him up in my life. It's Dr. S.M. Lockridge describing his king. And you see what I mean? I mean, that's just amazing. When we start meditating on the majesty and the magnificence and the work and the wonder of Christ, the glory and the goodness and the strength and the servanthood, all of those things, you cannot help but fall down and worship. You just can't help it. If you know him, you just can't help it. So Jesus, he described this master-servant scenario to the disciples because he knew exactly that they would know exactly how that scenario goes, that masters are served and servants serve. He knew that. But here is the crazy thing. Their master was in just a few short days going to become their servant. And he was going to give his life as a ransom for many in Jerusalem. That was coming just a few short days away. That's how good he is. That's how amazing he is. And that's how you increase Jesus in your life. We also must decrease. That might be harder to do. The decrease in our life. How do we decrease in our life and it be real? You know? And it's like working on humility. When you feel like you're there, you know, you're not. So how do we authentically decrease in our life? Well, you know, Jesus said there that even when everything had been done that was commanded, think of yourself as an unworthy servant. You just did your job. Who among us could say that we have done everything that was commanded in any day for God? We are unworthy. Who of us could say that at the end of every day, that it was the best day that we could give God, that it was good enough for him? We're unworthy. Who among us could say that we truly deserve the prize that we're going to receive when we see Jesus face to face? We're unworthy. Recounting our failure, recounting where we dropped the ball, all of that stuff helps us decrease in our life. And it's good for our hearts. You know, Wednesday is not just Valentine's Day, it's also the beginning of Lent. The Lenten season. It lasts 6 weeks up to the time of Easter. And you know what Lent is? It is a season to decrease. Now, lots of people do that through practicing some self-denial and self-discipline. And it's just a way for you to walk in the footsteps of Christ. You know? And a lot of times, fasting is involved in Lent. Something people do, they give up a food that they like for the whole time, or they give up a day's worth during a week of meals, or they give up food for the whole time. People can fast from social media or media itself, which is probably a great thing to do. Whatever it is, the practice of fasting is a great way to practice decreasing in your life. Denying yourself food, denying yourself pleasure, denying yourself comforts of life, so that you're basically saying to God, I'd rather have you than this good stuff here, this, you know, that I like. And so, you know, I encourage you to do that in some way, just over the next 6 weeks. Walk in Jesus' footsteps. You'll know him better by doing that. Just pick something. And then just keep it between you and him. Fast unto the Lord. Just talk to him about it. Tell him, help me understand and know you better. And it'll be a blessing to you in your life. You know, Jesus, he himself decreased. He decreased. Philippians 2, 5 to 8, it says, make your own attitude that of Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of men. And when he had come as a man, in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So he must increase in our life, and we must decrease, following his footsteps. And then before I go on, one mistake to avoid when you're thinking about lowering your altitude. An unworthy servant is not the same as a worthless servant. Okay? Unworthy doesn't equal worthless. Jesus isn't saying we should feel worthless. You are God's creation. You are a unique representation of His image. No one else is like you. Even if you've got an identical twin, they're different. No one else is like you. Paul said you're God's masterpiece. You are a child of God who has been bought and paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Your life is worth far more than you know. You are part of a church family who would stand in front of a tank to make sure you're okay. You are loved and you are valued. So don't make that mistake of thinking that unworthy is equal to worthless. And do follow the prescriptions of lowering your altitude. It's good for your heart. Now in verses 11 to 9, we get this play-by-play of Jesus performing a miraculous healing. And then there's some sad commentary on the sick heart of man. The prescription for your heart here is to raise up your gratitude. So verse 11, it gives us this reminder that Jesus is on the way. This is called, I forget, it's like the travel something dialogue or something like that. I don't remember what it is. But commentators. Yeah. Jesus is on the road. He's set his face toward Jerusalem back in Luke 9. And so he's on a mission to go to Jerusalem and die there. So he's making his final trip to the city. Now here he is in this desolate place between Samaria and Galilee somewhere. And we know it's desolate because he runs into this group of lepers. Now, lepers had instructions on how they were to live in the community. Actually, they were not supposed to live in the community. Leviticus told them, you know, if you're leprous, you got to go outside the city and you got to be separate from people. And if you happen to come into contact with people, you need to shout out, unclean, unclean. And so lepers are isolated people. They're social outcasts. They're seem to be under this spiritual curse. That's kind of how they were viewed in society. So when you know that, this group of lepers does something pretty surprising. When they see Jesus coming in, instead of yelling out, unclean, unclean, they yell out, Jesus, Master, have mercy. Have mercy on us. So somehow, from a distance, they know it's Jesus. He's walking by. And somehow they find the faith to ask for his help. You know, if we're going to raise up our gratitude to God, this is a good place to start for doing that, finding the faith to ask God for help. And then look, the response that Jesus gives in verse 14, it turns out to be this miraculous answer. He tells the lepers to go show themselves to the priest. They ask for mercy. He says, go talk to the priest. And that's a little puzzling, but then we understand that any leper wishing to be declared clean and to be able to re-enter society had to go through the local rabbi. And there was this 8-day ritual of cleansing that they had to go through. And so Jesus sends them to the priests before he cleanses them of the leprosy. And so the lepers, they show an even greater measure of faith than they did in the ask. They showed some faith to obey what Jesus said. I mean, they start on their way to the local synagogue, which, you know, was going to bring them back into contact with people, which if God didn't come through for them, they would find themselves in trouble. They did that. They worked their way there before they were healed. That's some trust in Christ's word. That is showing some faith in their obedience. If he didn't come through for him, it's going to be trouble. The end of verse 14, it says this. As they went, they were cleansed. So as they went, they were cleansed. They're on their way. And Jesus does the miracle. You know, if we're going to position ourselves for raising up our gratitude to God, we're going to be put in some situations that are going to stretch our faith. Gonna test our faith. You know what you're counting on when you lift up your prayers to God, and then what you do after that shows you what you're counting on. You know, sometimes we have the faith to ask and then it stops right there and we don't do what we're supposed to do. And sometimes that's okay because God says, wait. You know, wait on me, your strength will be renewed. You know, wait for me to act, wait for me to light the way. But sometimes God says, this is the way, walk ye in it. And that way happens to be kind of scary. You know, we put ourselves out there, and it's like if he doesn't come through for us, we're going to find ourselves in trouble. Are you one to play it safe in your faith with God? You know, have you ever asked for help in such a way you were counting on him to come through for you, and he said, okay, here it comes, but you got to go show yourself to the priest. You got to walk this way, but you step back from that obedience because it was too risky. You were too afraid. And I thought, if we're always playing it safe, we are never going to know the joy of God answering our asks in this way. And we won't raise up our gratitude. Now, so far in the story, these lepers are hitting a home run. I mean, I would encourage all of you up to this point in the story to have faith to ask and have faith to obey. Follow the example of the lepers until you get to verse 15. And then we get some sad commentary. One of the lepers sees he's been healed and he turns back, shouting out his praises to God. Exactly what you'd expect somebody to do after God comes through for them. But the sad part is that only one of them did it. I'm sure that the other nine were also shouting out praises to God, but they decided to, you know, go on to the priest because they wanted to get on with their lives. And so it shows us just a little something that they were more excited about the answer to prayer than about the one who answered it. And we want to be like this one. This one turned out to be a thankful soul. And he doesn't hide his gratitude. He goes back to Jesus immediately. I mean, you know, you would have thought the other guys would go, yeah, we should go. We should follow him. That guy just healed us. We should go thank him. But they didn't. They kept going. This guy goes back and he had the faith to fall at Jesus' feet and worship him and give him thanks. And then Jesus tells him in the last verse, his faith has made him well. Literally, those words mean Jesus is saying, your faith has saved you. So what he's saying is, you're not just physically healed. You're spiritually healed. You've been spiritually cleansed as well as physically cleansed. And I don't think we realize the gravity of this gratitude, ingratitude thing. When you look at it through the lens of the Bible, things, you know, get really important when you look at this gratitude, ingratitude thing. And I started thinking, you know, one of the very first things that we teach our little kids is to say thank you. And I thought, well, maybe that's why we think it's, you know, kind of a small thing. I don't know. Maybe we don't think it's such a big deal. But, you know, gratitude or ingratitude is a really good indicator of what is going on in your heart. Now, Jesus' commentary when the man comes back, it's pretty sobering. The guy is giving thanks, worshiping him at Jesus' feet. And Jesus says, where are the others? Weren't there nine more that were cleansed? Where are they at? So his question is kind of telling us that God takes gratitude seriously. That prayer that you pray before a meal to thank God for it, he listens to that prayer. It's important to him. Now, ingratitude isn't something, when you look at it in the Bible, you don't want to be associated with ingratitude. I mean, the Bible speaks about it in connection with people who are not going to be in the kingdom. Listen to 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2. So you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. I mean, that's like, isn't that a little surprising that that's in there? I mean, he's describing evil, unbelieving people, and, you know, he tacks on their ungratefulness. So this gratitude thing may be a little more important than we're giving it credit. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. So again, ingratitude listed as a primary characteristic of people who do not worship God. Are you a good tipper? We were having this discussion in our small group, and we got a little behind the scenes look at the life of a waitress because of one of our small group members. And she told us that Sunday was the day that everybody hated, because Christians were the worst tippers. Do you know what tipping is called? Gratuity. It's gratuity. It's an expression of thanksgiving for the service that we received. And I was thinking, why in the world would Christians be bad at expressing our gratitude for being served, even if it was awful service? Maybe it's because we got to lower our altitude. But you know, this story here that we've got, it's not just a story. This is history. This isn't a parable about these 10 lepers. This actually happened. And Jesus says, was no one found but this foreigner? So that means the other 9 lepers were Jews, the people of God, children of God. And they didn't come back to give thanks. And so they thought they were insiders with God, but maybe that ingratitude is telling them something different about their standing with God. Now understand this, gratitude, it's not going to gain you points with God. I mean, that's not what this is about. But listen, gratitude is a result of God being in your life. And it's pretty fundamental. It's fundamental to our life with Him. Did you know that gratitude is good for you? Gratitude is amazingly good for you. There's this article in the Wall Street Journal, November 2010. They did this summary of research about gratitude in people's lives. This is, adults who frequently feel grateful have more energy, more optimism, more social connections, and more happiness than those who do not, according to studies conducted over the past decade. So there are also less likely to be depressed, envious, greedy, or alcoholics. They earn more money, sleep more soundly, exercise more regularly, and have a greater resistance to viral infections. Gratitude increases your heart health, combats stress, makes you less impatient, and strengthens your marriage. Gratitude is good for you. No wonder God tells us all over the Bible to be grateful, to raise up our gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And Psalm 100, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. In Revelation chapter 11, the 24 elders, you know, around the throne, they're falling down and they're saying to God, we give you thanks for reigning. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you start looking for gratitude in the Bible, you find it all over the place. It's all over there. So, these are important prescriptions for our life with God, for our heart. And here's the great thing. You don't have to wait to apply this today. We're going to practice it right now. You know, before we go out there and we give some eyebrow-raising expressions of gratuity to the waiters and waitresses who are going to serve us, especially today, if they got into work today. Before we do that, we're going to do it right here. So let's have our worship team come back up. And let's stand together. And we're just going to go to the Lord in prayer. And we're just going to spend a little time lifting up our praise and thanksgiving to God for who He is and what He's done in your life. And would invite you to speak it out for all to hear. You don't want to be afraid. This is the time to have faith to fall at Jesus' feet and thank Him and praise Him for all He's doing in your life. So let's pray. I'll go first. Heavenly Father, we do thank You so much for the day You've given us to be here. Thank You for getting us in here. Thank You for technology that people could join us from home. We just praise you today for your glorious goodness to us, that you are perfect in all of your ways. And I thank you that it doesn't matter to me what my health report's going to say tomorrow, because you are my great physician.